Delta mama and a nigger jack man. Raise their Cumberland daughter in a Tennessee band. Played Springwater Station in. Couldn't play fast, couldn't fit in. Called a 66 Dodge from Carolina. Got her education on her mama's dime. She was singing in a bar called Comatose. Halfway rusted on a salty coast. Rock of Ages, cleave for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Buried in the sand. 500 miles from Birmingham.
Hey, hey, hey. Yo, how's it going out there? Welcome back. Welcome, first-time listeners. My name is Joe.
Welcome, second-time listeners.
Welcome, second, third, fourth, fifth-time listeners.
And I'm Carolyn.
Carolyn, this is Joe. This is Carolyn. What's up? Welcome to the Carolyn and Joe Show. If this is Tuesday, this is Wednesday, this is Thursday, and this is Friday, you guys are definitely in for a treat. But if it's Saturday, you might be a little bit late for something.
Unless you're listening on Saturday
morning. Unless you're listening on Saturday morning. Because there's one thing I want to talk about, guys. Or everybody out there. We're going to be live.
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 On October 27th, 2012.
Annapolis Comic Con. Me, Carolyn and I. For the first time ever, we're going to do this show live in front of an audience. I don't know what the size of this audience is going to be. And actually, the last time we talked, I didn't know what the size of the audience was going to be before.
There's no telling.
There's no idea. But you know, the fact that that volatile, that very hostile environment of a live audience is going to be there. It's going to be crazy. I don't know why. I don't even know what's going to happen, Carolyn.
It's going to be at noon. I know that.
Yes.
Noon next Saturday.
Carolyn,
October 27th. Yeah. Be there. And we wrote a blog about it, so check out curls-studio.com, or you can always just Google Annapolis Comic Con and find all the details.
That's
the
right.
The deets, as the young kids like to say.
The Carolyn and Joe Show live.
Send me the 411.
Live and in stereo. Us doing this thing in front of a crowd. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what we're going to talk about? It could be good, it could be bad, but you know what? We're going to make it good, and we're not going to make it bad. It's going to be awesome. Is it free? I forget.
I think there's ticket admission to get into Annapolis Comic Con.
Even better. Shovels and Rope. That's what you guys are listening to in the background. Heard this awesome band open up for Jack White, and you guys just have to listen to it. You guys have to check him out. Check us out. This is what we do. Is there any other news that we should be announcing before we get right into it?
Well, we did just wrap up New York Comic Con last weekend.
Cool.
So, you know, our next show is Annapolis this coming Sunday. And then the latest show that I know of is December 15th at the Rotunda in Philadelphia.
At the Rotunda,
December 15th. Sunday. Join us there. So we will be there, and as far as I know, that's the end of the tour news.
Until the next year.
Until 2013.
Yes.
There might be another tour date that might pop up, but I can't guarantee it at that time because nothing's confirmed. But so far, we have the October 27th Annapolis Comic Con and December 15th at the Rotunda in Philly.
Now, recording a live podcast in front of an audience, I'm not really hardcore Mr. Listen to Every Podcast out there in the whole entire world.
Why not?
Because that's just not who I am.
Who has time for all that? Let's seriously talk about that.
I mean, maybe there's some people out there that do, but a lot of times I end up listening to, again, Art of Wrestling or probably Kevin Smith. And I've heard Kevin Smith do live podcasts, and I've heard Colt Cabana, Art of Wrestling, do live podcasts. Have you heard those, Carolyn?
Yes, I have heard.
What do you think the success of their shows, their live shows, have been, and why?
Well, Kevin Smith always has an advantage over a lot of people because he has his films, and he's had a fan base that he's built up for probably like over 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that. Like, anything that he wants to attach his name to, he's automatically going to get priority, I feel like. Because, like, even, granted, I've only seen 5 minutes of his show Comic Book Men on AMC.
Yeah.
Which is awesome that he has a show. But let's be honest. What network is going to give somebody a show based on, like, I have a comic book store. Can you have, like, a show for me? You know what I mean? Like, it's just... I think like they're basing that like pretty much 50% around his name value.
Yeah.
So
I mean, his name as value well as they
can,
should.
Yeah, exactly. His name value can buy bones, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing it since 94, 93, 92.
Exactly. So he's been in the game like,
before the
internet went crazy. So, and he was even like one of the first people to really embrace like message boards, or so I've heard, like back in the day, like so he would communicate with fans on there, which I think is like super smart, because he's basically like always been doing that for years, so he's never actually really changed like necessarily his business model. He's just gotten bigger and bigger,
and like he's had those, you know,
but his
like
body has gotten smaller,
but like I feel like that Kevin Smith is amazing in that sense, because yeah, he's a filmmaker, but also that his interaction with fans, it brings that other level of like, you may not like his movies, but you may also like his, in a sense, he basically just goes out there and does like the Q&A stand-up.
Yeah.
And tells stories, and he has that ability to do that.
He interacts.
So I'm hoping that we can do that in front of an audience. And I mean, when we put on our show this Saturday, I mean, that could be something, you know, I don't want to reveal what we're doing. You know, I don't want to give it away. Give it away now. But I just want to hope that like we go out there and you know, that people go out there and, you know, just enjoy, you know, what we do. Well, everything will be up to surprises. Just like how we did our talk last year, maybe we'll reveal stuff. Nothing is ever final until the day of with us, especially since I love a live environment. I mean, like, I'd love to take questions, like how Kevin Smith does it. You know, that could be an option. That could be up there, and I'd love to answer any question that they ever have. And that'll be the funnest thing that could possibly happen. We can always throw a bunch of story ideas. I mean, what would you like to do in front of the audience, Carolyn? Like, what type of show do you think we should put on?
I think that they should find out this Saturday.
But I'd like to conversate about it. Like, what would be some fun things that we could possibly? What would be possibilities? What would be possibilities for people to think of, to be like, oh, I'm going to do that because Carol and Joe are going to do this, you know?
Well, I thought we weren't going to reveal what we're doing.
No, these are possibilities.
Possibilities of what we might be doing?
Yeah.
Strip poker.
We could do strip poker. We could go out there and have... See, that's always been the sort of the challenge, too, of creating this... this part of the show is because it's all ages in a way, and so
we can't get naked.
We could, but there, that opens up that floodgates of trouble with little kids.
There's definitely going to be kids at the show, I can guarantee, because this whole theme at Annapolis Comic Con right now is Halloween inspired, and they're going to have kids costume contests and adult costume contests and giving away candy and all this stuff, and they have like free trick-or-treat goodie bags for like the first whatever amount of people that come in that were wearing a costume.
Yeah.
I've seen the bags. They look pretty awesome. So you can definitely go trick-or-treating with them. Definitely everyone needs to bring their kids. But that also means on our end, we can't do strip poker.
Yes.
Unless we have something underneath our clothes, like a full body suit. That'd be funny. Like if we're like, yeah, we're gonna do strip poker or something and then like have clothes underneath the clothes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It still like involves stripping. And I think parents might not dig that.
At least in public like that.
But yeah, like, what if you had one of those diving suits on underneath? So like, it really wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But then at least by then the kids would know what stripping is. And then I don't know if that's necessary.
I mean,
I don't know if that's a good thing.
I mean, to you, what usually makes like an entertaining panel, like when you do go up and you go to see people, because this is a panel, but it's a show. For us at the same time,
mm-hmm.
You know, what usually for you makes things like entertaining, like when you go up there and watch it?
I think definitely interaction, because if it's just two people just up there talking, I don't know if I'll connect as much, unless they're like people that I already know, like somebody that you already have personality that you full on know.
Yeah.
But I definitely think we need to do some type of audience reaction, interaction, audience participation.
I mean,
and I was thinking of doing a Mad Libs.
What's that?
It's like that thing that has a script and then people fill in the blanks for like adjective or male name or something like that. Have you ever played that like in elementary school?
Possibly.
So do you know what it is?
I'm trying to think of remembering. So you just insert a word?
Yeah. Like there's like a script, right? But then there's like blank areas that you need help with. So you're like, you tell people, hey, does any, you know, name a noun, and somebody will be like, you know, person, place, or thing is a noun. So name a noun, Joe.
Like so I say like house?
Yeah. So then I'd fill in the space with the word house. And then it tells like a story.
Oh, okay, then what?
Then you read the story out loud. Like after you get all the fill in the blanks. You know, you ask for like a verb, you ask for a noun, you ask for an adjective. And then people in the audience call those out, and then later on you read it out loud. Got it? Have you done that before?
I guess I can see how that can be entertaining.
Have you done that before?
Apparently I haven't.
I'm surprised you didn't know about it, but we should do it then.
Why are you surprised?
Like, how could you go through all of elementary school and not know what that is?
I don't understand why. Is that a requirement?
It's not a requirement, but I'm surprised you don't know about it.
Why are you surprised about that?
Because I feel like a lot of people know what that is, but apparently people don't. So maybe it'll be fresh. Maybe people will be like, they invented Mad Libs.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, I invented that. Along with post-it notes and brainstorming.
See, I'm always thinking about, like, it's just one of the things that I always think about before putting on any type of show is it's the fact that it's live and it's out there, you know, and it's like, you know, when I see panels, like at this year's, like, New York Comic Con, I went to the IGN panel and I saw the Walking Dead panel and I saw the Firefly one, and, those panels were successful just because of the rabid fan base, and just like the, you know, just people wanting to see like those superstars, and like I'd like to have that big fan base too one day. You know, but
this
I know
is
that
your start.
Yes, this will be our start, and also with Colt Cabana, his is based on a guest in front of a live audience. You know, maybe we could have a guest out there. That could be something, a surprise guest that we pull out and people can just run wild and we just talk and have a good time and people listen to that. Or usually when Kevin Smith is there, he does have a guest too when it's live, doesn't he?
Sometimes, or sometimes it's just him and Jason Mewes, right?
Well, that is a guest.
You know, but that's a co-host.
Well, I guess too.
Because isn't it Jay and Silent Bob get old?
Yeah, it's true.
So it's like their own show. He's not a guest on his own show, right?
And they tell like his...
no one wants to be a guest in their own house.
And he tells like the history and the stories of his whole entire life.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be something that we throw out there too.
Yeah, we should get Jason Mewes.
Should get Jason Mewes. Surprise guest Jason Mewes would show up there. So you guys should definitely go out and check it out. Don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know why we need to tell people now, though.
We're not. We
just don't know.
We're making content for this show. Is what's happening.
That's
what
we're
doing. We're having a live brainstorming session. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. I just don't know. We'll reveal it on Saturday.
Yes.
The big reveal.
But now what are we going to talk about here?
New York.
Okay. Go ahead. Talk about New York.
Okay. Well, New York Comic Con. It was... What were the dates exactly? October 11th through 14th, I believe. And this was our maybe fifth New York Comic Con. I haven't been counting now at this point. But so it's a four-day convention, Thursday through Sunday. And we drove in on Thursday morning, super early, got there, unloaded, and... pretty much were one of the first people to be in Artist Alley. Like, they already had the table set up and all the signage, but we were one of the first people to set up. I'd say we were probably in the top 10% to get there for arrival. Because usually Thursdays are a day where you can just set up and really enjoy the day without necessarily having the crowds around.
Yeah.
So, we set up. We got all that taken care of. Artist Alley, I believe, did not open until 3 p.m. So we already had everything set up by around before noon, I believe. And so then we were like, let's just check out the main hall. Like, at this time, this is really the part of New York Comic Con that I actually enjoyed the most, because you get all the behind-the-scenes action. You get to see, like, Marvel and DC and, like, Legos put up, like, all of their big displays before anyone else, really. And, like, it's funny because we took photos of this, and it looks like New York Comic Con, you know, is all set up and massive.
Yeah.
But then it looks like no one's there. They're like, no one showed up at New York Comic Con this year. But actually, that was on Thursday. So, you know, we went around and took some pictures. And then they also had, like, this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hallway, which connected one part of the Comic Con to the main hall, which is really cool because the way they designed it, like, this... They kind of designed it like you're walking through a sewer.
Yeah.
And they had, like, also some neon colors going through it. So, like, this really cool neon sewer with, like, some smoke machine action.
That's what the Ninja Turtles are all about.
Neon colors and smoke action. So, that was fun. And then, what else did we do on that Thursday? We just kept walking around. The Legos were giant. Like, huge Legos. I took a picture with the Hulk, and he was huge. And I'm starting to believe that they actually, like, glue the pieces together. Because, you know, what if some little kid comes and, like, starts picking at it? I feel like they need to glue the pieces together. I did not touch to find out, but it just makes sense that they would do that. Because what if somebody just, like, ran forward and knocked it over?
But that's the fun part about Legos, isn't it?
I don't think anyone messed with them, but I do think that they're gluing them. But either way, it's still an act of awesome because they're so huge. And then, what else? I mean, we just basically walked around and we saw, like, the Batmobile and the Back to the Future DeLorean. And there was also the Scooby Gang van. And, I'm trying to figure out what else was cool. They had, this whole gaming section that had old school, like, arcade games that people could play endlessly for free. What else? They had, like, this press-on-nail thing, which I was like, oh, I was interested in that, and then I never came back. I was like, why do they have press-on-nails here? But they were, like, the cool sticker types. But that was cool that they had, like, a nail thing, like, randomly in the middle of New York Comic Con.
Why not, right?
Why not? There was a couple, like, things that I was like, that's a little random that you're here, but that's cool. You know, like this press-on-nail thing. Let's see. I'm trying to think of everything I saw on the hall on that time because, oh, and also in the Mattel booth, they had, like, a sign that said tickets to Dolph Ziggler on Saturday. So I made a note of that to go see the WWE wrestling superstar Dolph Ziggler. I made a note to come back on Saturday for that. And because he was only going to be there for, like, an hour, and they gave out tickets beforehand, and then you'd come back at a later time to get his autograph and meet him. But yeah, like, usually, like, on Thursday, it's just really chill and relaxing like that. So then, by the time they open up the hall, we are ready to, you know, just sit down and enjoy our time in Artist Alley. And this year, Artist Alley was in the north wing of the Javits Center in New York. And this part basically is, you have to walk down a hallway and be at this other side. You basically have to kind of, like, leave the main hall to go to this wing at the north side of the convention center. And a lot of artists were, like, mumbling in the beginning, like, you know, in a bad mood or, like, complaining about how, like, the Artist Alley was not in the main hall. In previous years, it had been in the main hall. And I guess the best way to describe it is if you were in New York Comic Con in 2011, if you remember the celebrity wing where all the famous people were, that's where Artist Alley was this year in 2012.
Cool.
So, you could, like, come in, you know, and then go to your right, and then it would be down the hallway, away from everything else. And a lot of people were upset about that. And I honestly, like, I knew before the show that Artist Alley was moved. I didn't actually know where until we got there. And, at that point, like, I already had accepted that Artist Alley had moved, but I just, like, you know, hoped that the show organizers at least had signage guiding people to Artist Alley, and if people knew, you know, if people wanted to go to Artist Alley, that they would be able to find us. That was, like, my only hope, because at this point, it's like, you can't really control that. That's up to the show organizers, and, like, all these artists were and creators were, like, felt like they were getting upset that like Artist Alley wasn't in the main hall and they weren't getting respect and this and that, which I understand. But then also I'm like, well, let's try this out. Like the show hasn't even started yet. Like the attendees aren't even here yet.
But what was the organizer saying though in response to their complaints?
They were saying that like Artist Alley is the biggest Artist Alley ever. Even better than any of bigger than any of the San Diego Comic-Con Artist Alley. And I have not been to San Diego Comic-Con, so I don't know exactly how big their Artist Alley is, but I get the impression that it's not actually that big in terms of how huge San Diego Comic-Con is.
San Diego Comic-Con doesn't really care about, I mean, the impression I get is that they don't really care much about comics and more or less about character properties.
Yeah. So basically, the artists, in my opinion, kind of like just get shoved aside and like, here's your little corner of the convention, which is funny because from what I understand also like 20 years ago, that was like the main part of the convention. So it basically shifted sides.
I mean, from what I've been hearing at the end of this year's Comic-Con, I thought Artist Alley being in that the North Wing was a success because, I mean, yeah, I had that initial fear, you know, just me not knowing that that's how that the layout's going to be. But, you know, you bring out like a theory, or I brought like a theory to my mind when the show started. I was like, every one of these days of the Comic-Con is sold out. I mean, that's a lot of people that be sold out. And how hectic that the main hall actually is, the main hall is just unmovable. You know, you can go see stuff, you go get Nuts for Nuts or GT Juice and see the Marvel and all, you know, see all these huge properties and games. But the theory that I brought up every single time to anybody was like, this whole entire event is like an amusement park at the same time. I didn't just say any amusement park. I said Busch Gardens. I said this thing is like Busch Gardens. Some people is going to go to, I forget what the names of the places in Busch Gardens is, but is it like each section's like a different country?
Or they have that in Disneyland too.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, isn't how like each one's a different country? I was like, well, some people are going to go to, like, I don't know, they're going to go to
Hidden Forest.
The
Hidden Forest.
Yeah, some people are going to go to the Hidden Forest, and when they're tired of
Iceland.
They're going to go, yeah. So like, I feel like, if you're gonna pay your money to go to the Comic-Con, you're gonna see everything. So with that massive amount of people at a sold out show, eventually they're all gonna make it to Artist Alley, because you know why? Because no one wants to waste their money, and also, you know, that's part of the whole show. It's not something that you can blatantly like miss. You know?
Yeah.
Because once one person starts going in that direction, a lot of people will go in that direction because they're going to wonder what's going on over there. And they're going to realize there's a whole nother awesome show over here, you know?
Yeah,
going to Cartoon Land, basically, like in Disney.
It felt like having the own show within a show. Because I liked, first of all, the reasons why I liked being in the Javits North is because, well, number one, in previous years, we'd been like right next to like the International Video Game Championship, which is loud, and like you have people like all gathered around watching these guys play video games, and you hear the punches, even you hear everything, you hear all these sound effects. And last year when we were trying to give interviews, the audio quality was really bad and we had to step away from our table a couple times.
Yeah.
And like, whereas here, like, yeah, it wasn't like pristine, like cricket chirping, like there wasn't like no one there, but what I'm saying is that you could actually have a conversation with people and not be distracted by video games or like some celebrity or some other random thing that's over in the corner and just like ding 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 dong da 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 da. Like you're not distracted with all of this other stuff around you. Like you pretty much can talk to the artists and the writers at every table. And I enjoyed that. Like I thought it was cool that we had like our own little presence there in our own little section. And also Artist Alley was huge. Like I took a picture of the whole Artist Alley lineup that was a big poster when you got to the front, and there was like a ton of artists and writers there. Like I didn't count them all, but there was a lot. Like it was a long list. It wasn't just like 100 people. It was like maybe even, I don't know. I don't want to put out a number out there, but it was a lot. And so that was like, that was, to me that was cool because it just showed like more opportunities and more presence of artists there. And that's like, that's the whole point. You want to have like diversity and you want to have like all different types of artists and all different types of writers. And you want to have like the choices to visit everybody.
And from the looks of, like, even the first day, like Thursday, that was just, I guess, professionals only, you know, so to speak, and VIPs. Just from looking at that, my fear was totally just wiped away of, like, there not being traffic in the area, in the Artist Alley area, because when I stepped back and looked at it, that whole place was packed.
Yeah.
It was ugly packed, you know?
Definitely. And then, like, the other reasons why I liked being in that area too is because, like, the people that were going to come to Artist Alley, like, they would still find you out. Like, this one guy came by immediately and he was just like, yeah, I come to New York Comic Con for Artist Alley. And he was like, yeah, you guys got moved. He's like, I still found you. You know, like, he's like, I don't understand, you know, the problem.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, people that were still going to come see us came to see us. They still found us in this massive Javits Center. And then also in addition to that, I just think that the whole atmosphere in that room is a lot better. Like, I enjoyed being there. I don't think it was a problem at all. I think people just get like overly crazy and then they're like, what? We're not on the show floor? What? I don't have a spotlight on my face? Like, I'm the master here and, like, I deserve to be recognized. You know, like if you don't have, like, that type of like presence, you know, like, it's, I feel like.
And really, at the end of the day, it's almost like if you're, to me, it's like if you're not being featured in IGN, then you're not really, you're subpar.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that sounds really harsh, but at the same time, that's like the main event stage. And also, that's like a highly sponsored stage as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting down any other panels. I'm probably even putting down our panel, but, like, that's really how it is. You know what I mean? That's always a sold out place. And that's like the celebrity area.
Unless you're like.
Or celebrity wing part.
Yeah, if you're not like Walking Dead, then you're nothing.
You know, I know it sounds horrible for me to say and for everyone to say, like, oh, we're not getting our justice or anything like that. But at the same time, there's always going to be something that's bigger than who you are, you know? You know, so you just go at it, you know? Just don't, like, I just don't complain, people. Just don't complain about it and just go at it like it doesn't bother you.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely enjoyed having Artist Alley there, and I think, like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's there again, and I would come back again to be in that spot, because...
How much more bigger can this show be? There's no more space in the Javits.
There is, like, hardly any more space.
They used up every single piece of the Javits Center, except for that top wing that was under construction for some reason.
Yeah, and then on Saturday, I got my ticket to Dolph Ziggler immediately, and then I came back... I think for the time was like 1 p.m. or something. I can't remember for sure. But he was only going to be there from like 1 to 2. And so I got in line. I got that done within half an hour. And his hair is awesome. It looks like spaghetti. And I mean, basically met Dolph Ziggler. He was in a suit. He was all mic'd up. And like WWE cameras were like on everybody. And so I got my picture taken with him. And I was holding Toast. So that was pretty cool. Then I went back to the table. Like, really, that was, like, my only moment of New York Comic Con where I actually got to experience, like, as a fan, I guess. The show floor was crazy then. Like, middle of the day on Saturday, crazy. I couldn't hardly walk. Or, like, you're walking like a penguin. I just kind of, like, felt for people that if they didn't have a guideline of where they wanted to go or what they wanted to see... Like, you can easily get lost there or just, like, lost in the shuffle of, like, the human wave just taking you somewhere. But luckily I knew where I was to go, and so I just went back to Artist Alley within half an hour. So that was, like, my only major, like, destination break. I didn't go to any panels, so I didn't get to experience it in that way, but I'm glad I was at the table most of the time. So that I could be with the fans.
I always try to wonder what people think when they first go up to the, like, exhibitors or artists or people like that who walk up to the Javits Center, like, on the before the show opens, and you just see, like, basically a whole giant mob of people. That's how it was when we first walked up there. It wasn't just a little amount of people.
It was a mob.
It was probably big. It was big. It was basically. Like, as if Madison Square Garden, imagine if just, like, Madison Square Garden, just all of Madison Square Garden was outside the Javits Center. That's how it felt like to me. I was like, holy crap, this is, like, the whole entire garden just outside. And, like, I don't know if people, sometimes I feel like people will get a little intimidated by that, feeling like, like, oh my God, there's a lot of people. I'm so nervous. What are we going to do? But for me, that really excites me, man. I mean, also, it's a scary situation because, like, you know, it's like a lot of people. That's trouble in one spot. But it sort of gets me, like, excited because, like, holy crap, imagine all these people are here for, like, basically this show, for this. And, like, that gets me, like, revved up to be like, this stuff is happening here. You know, stuff can be happening at every second of the day because of this amount of people. You have one person, like, is going to have a good time. A million people are going to have a good time. You know, anything can happen. And walking up there got me like, holy crap, this thing's going to be huge.
And,
you know?
And not only that, the people in line, most of them were dressed up in cosplay. And, I mean, what percentage out of the whole attendees would you say were in cosplay?
I don't know, probably like 40%.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was a lot. And basically, like, just to know that they spent time on their costume and makeup and organizing in the morning and just to, like, be there already in line that early, it was almost like, dude, these people are so dedicated. Like, they probably got up really early in the morning planning their lives around New York Comic Con. And, like, it was almost like Christmas for so many people. Like, as if, like, you know, most of these people are grown adults or, like, you know, teenagers, and it's like they haven't probably felt that Christmassy spirit since, like, they were 8 years old, you know? So it's like here they are having that again at, like, age whatever, 25, 35, whatever, and being, like, in that moment of such excitement.
Yeah.
But it was pretty, like, impressive to just see a full group of people, like, really happy looking to be there and, like, so excited about when the doors would open.
Yeah.
Like, that takes dedication.
And I feel like that's, like, a lot of times people, I mean, harshly would call, like, this whole massive amounts of people and say, like, oh, look at all the nerds and stuff like that. And I think that's really sort of, when you use the nerd terminology in a negative light, I find that really stupid and, like, retarded, you know, and I'm using that in a negative light as a response to the people using the nerd in a negative light, because it's like any time, like, you get a massive amount of people in a place where they just want to have fun and they just want to enjoy stuff, and people try to make fun of them, I just feel like that person should just get assassinated, because it's sort of just like, what gives you the right to try to make fun of other people's happiness, or, you know, their you know, their search for, you know what I mean? It's like, I think that was dumb. And, like, whenever I heard anyone who would just go to the show almost to make fun of people or to be like, oh, you know what I mean, like that, I thought they're just stupid fucks, you know? And because, like, that's what is cool about Comic-Con is that, yeah, you can go look at comics. People love these characters. And I loved being in line with people who were talking about how much they loved the characters, or how much, even we saw wrestling people and seeing how much they love that. Like, I feel like that's really the coolest thing, is that you're in this huge place where people are sharing and they're seeing the stuff that they love. And that's why you get that great response from the people at the IGN theater, who get to see the stars and they get to see the characters that they love in real life. And that's why they get that excited. And that's what's important about these shows like Comic-Con. Like, you know, you get to experience these things. Like, almost, I would say, like, almost once in a lifetime experiences, because I feel like every year for the 5 years I feel like that we've gone, it's always been something different, and there's always been something that's been great. I met Grant Morrison and Jane Espenson this year, and those are, like, two of my biggest heroes. And, like, I was like, I'm not gonna leave Comic-Con until I see these people. You know what I mean? And, like, everyone who really cares actually has those things, those goals in Comic-Con or conventions, you know, like, especially these massive ones where, like, I need to see this person. Like, it's like, I won't, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's really cool about that. You get to have that connection. And so it sort of really does upset me when people, like, classify them all when they, because I always see posts. Sometimes I was looking at posts because I was Instagramming a lot, because I said I was, and I love doing that. But I saw, you know, some people who were, like, just there for work or just there to cover it or whatever, or who would just look at it online and be like, look at all the nerds. Holy crap. Look at their, and they, you know, they
it's just, like, the easy thing to say, though. Like, that's the easy joke to make.
The easy joke is the stupid joke, because that's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It's cliche, and the cliche joke is not funny. But to me, I back up, you know, those people. And, like, I feel like to me, it's like, you know, the word nerd shouldn't even be around anymore. it's such a lame word at this point.
Well, also on top of it, like, really, a lot of the people that were there, were pretty attractive. Like, I admit, I did see a couple that did fit into, like, the nerd mold. Like, for example, there was this guy. I don't know if he was dressed up as anything or what, but he was basically, like, wearing pretty much, like, a Speedo.
Yeah.
But the thing was, he was, like, super big. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be making fun of him, but he put himself out there like this. Like, it was like, the type where it's, like, really, dude, look in the mirror. Like, it was pretty much, like, you're going out there like this. And his, like, his rolls of fat were, like, going over his Speedo. So, like, at a certain point, if you looked at it from a certain angle, you couldn't really even tell if he was, like, wearing the Speedo.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just, like, rolls and rolls of fat. In addition to that, like, he was pretty hairy. He was just, like, a big fat guy. Like, rocking around with, like, literally a Speedo.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was supposed to be, but it was just, like, I don't know. Go for it, you know, like, I don't know what his deal was or if he was supposed to be anybody, so I can't say for sure, but at the same time, it was just, like, wow. Like, on one hand, it's like, dude, that takes some guts to go out there and walk like that, but then it's like, on the other hand, it's like, really, like, that's a little extreme, dude.
Now, I will talk about the certain, I wouldn't say negatives, but the hostile situations that I did hear or read and encounter. Like in New York Comic Con. One, there's always that story that got out about that wardrobe and makeup artist, the girl that dressed up like Black Cat, who was being harassed, who got harassed by some news or some people who posed to be press.
And how then, was she harassed?
Well, she was harassed because all they would do was just talk about like boobs, and you know, they would sexualize her while she wasn't, you know, while she did her. You know, yeah, she was a hot girl wearing that, and then like they took advantage of that situation, and they just wanted her to say like perverted things, and she just walked away out of the interview. And I thought that was awesome that she did that, because people should stand up for themselves. And that's something that like now it's a fear that's going to happen at New York Comic Con for if you do have hot girls. It's a fear at any other convention. If you have half naked guys, half naked girls, you do will have just like any massive amounts of like people. Just like in humanity, you have those, you know, you have those dumbasses out there who think they're so cool, or who think just because a girl is half dressed in Comic-Con that they have the right to say stuff like that. I mean, it's just like a mosh pit. You should have respect, and if a person falls, you should pick them up, and you shouldn't. You know what I mean? It's like that.
There were definitely a lot of women walking around like wearing some really sexy clothing, though.
Yeah, really revealing stuff. You know, but at the same time, it's brave for them to do that.
It is.
It doesn't mean they're sluts or anything.
Is that the equivalent of like the big fat guy I was just describing?
What?
I don't know. Is like,
no, she wasn't like fat or anything.
No,
like
no,
that.
But I'm just saying like, but what, like on one hand you get like the really sexy people like wearing, you know, provocative clothing of the actual character.
I feel like this is where the confident confidence comes out.
But that, yeah, that fat guy was confident.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, dude.
Because they want to be there. This is the time to have fun. Like, this is almost like just, why not at the same time? It's like, people say like, well, if that, you know, like they would say what happens at Comic-Con stays at Comic-Con. These conventions are like this.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I don't think people should definitely like abuse that power of like,
but there is that type of guy, like there's just these jocks, these guys that are like that these days. There's always like, and they've always been sort of like that. They've always tried to take advantage of women. Any person that tries to take advantage of anyone should be assassinated, you know. And I think that was lame. Another situation that I was a part of basically was what was happening outside the IGN theater, of the lack of organization towards the line that was supposed to go in to the IGN theater. That was a hostile environment that I've ever been to. Imagine like 3-4 times more people waiting to get into the IGN theater, watching it on screens outside. And like, really, there's supposed to be some sort of like real line to get into it. Like, if people leave,
wasn't there not a line? Was there just a crowd?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit unorganized in the sense that like, in the sense that there was no line, and you know, and I feel like that's gonna happen. There's no way 13 people can control like 5,000 people.
Yeah, they just get trampled.
So it's like, I understand that, But it sucks, but also it gets hostile because when you see people going into it who like cut in line and stuff like that, of course people are going to be like, what? No, cutting, bullshit. You know what I mean? And that's a weird and bad energy to feel when you're down there trapped in a giant room with lots and lots and lots of people, you know?
Yeah. That's one area I didn't even go to. Like the IGN theater, didn't even step foot in it. I don't even think I walked in front of it. Like, that's the one section I didn't even touch.
Because you used to actually be able to walk into it while the panels were happening. But no, that's what... That has gone. Actually, this is the first time... And, you know, all the days were sold out. So I should have expected this. But majority of all the panels that I wanted to go to were, like, hard as hell and packed. Not packed, but, like, I would say, like, just sold... Full. So you couldn't get in. So you're just sort of like, oh, what are you going to do? But there's always something to do. But like, wow, that shows the amount of people that were here was so packed.
And not just they were there. They were there probably like hours before.
Yeah.
Like reserving their spot.
I remember McBride was there and he was like trying to get into it. He was like, I had to stay here all day. And I was like, yeah, I remember when I saw Joss Whedon there and that was a packed line. And that was something that you had to like basically fall in line before the show even started. So... That's basically, if you want to go to something in New York Comic Con, you got to go to that line before it even starts. You know, it's just like a roller coaster. You're going to wait in that line for those, you know, something that's even more exciting, possibly. But those, the one thing that, like, you know, that, like, I don't know if I was surprised by, but I wasn't surprised by this, but it made much sense. But when I saw, like, again, the Playboy model and the girl booth that they had set up, and of course, there wasn't really a line there. And that's sort of
they're all just like on their cell phones.
Yeah. And to me, that almost signifies, you know, because last year in the autograph area, they had that section too where they just had the hot girl area where you can pose with the hot girls. And there wasn't really lines or a line at all. And, you know, and that's fine. And it's perfect. It makes so much sense to have that. But at the end of the day, I'm always thinking, like, what I'm thinking is this, is that, like, if those girls are expecting a big line, then that's sort of like ego tripping in front of them for some reason. Because like to make them think like, oh yeah, it's a bunch of nerds. Well, of course they're gonna be a big line. But I'm not doubting them for that. But it's just sort of how it's gonna come about.
It's almost like people didn't come to New York Comic Con to see them.
It's also like you just see, unless they are like a beautiful people who wrestling and divas and comic fans, they sort of come together. But if you're just going to be a model,
yeah. Well, at the time that we walked by there briefly, I thought it was funny because you had like Mike TV from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original Willy Wonka. He was there. He like waved to me, but I just didn't want to talk to any of those people. I just kind of like walked by because I know like once you talk to them, then they're like, oh, you want a picture, and then that's like $30 and stuff like that. And that's always a tough deal. I don't want to get involved, so I just look at them like they're creatures in the zoo, and I look at them through their cage.
Yeah.
And but then they had probably like maybe 5 Playboy Playmates. There was no line for any of them, and a couple of them were just like on their phones. I don't know about you guys, but like whenever like exhibitors are just like on their phones behind the table, it makes me not want to go up there because it's like, oh, they're busy with something. I don't want to interrupt them and talk to them. So like that's basically like a stay away. So that's like, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, Joe, but that's how I feel like when I'm just walking by like as an attendee.
Well, I know for a fact that like there were several times where I'm on my phone because I'm Instagramming like what's going on at the show to like, you know, I'd like to be part of that, the social world of the hashtag of New York Comic Con to get those strangers to being knowledgeable of our booth.
Did anyone come over that was like, I saw you on Instagram?
I have no idea.
But yeah, but anyway.
Well, I mean, like, it'd be so impossible for me to know that. But
there
was plenty of people, and I do know, like, when you're at the table or when it's you, me, and Brian, it's sort of like I feel like there's that opportunity because you guys got that table covered. Yeah. But, like, when it's just me, like, I spend, like, little time on there a lot of times.
But basically, like, all the girls had, like, their head down type thing. And, like, I don't know. It felt like they had this... I don't know, maybe it was something that I was feeding into them or they were feeding into me, I don't know, but it just felt like they didn't want to be there. And then...
I know when we saw the Bella Twins, they looked like they didn't want to be there.
Yeah, there was like... Then when you went around the corner, they had the more wrestling side of things. So you basically, on one side of this booth, you had Playboy Playmate, and then on the other side, you have... these beautiful female wrestlers. They had Kelly Kelly, the Bella Twins, and the Beautiful People. And it was like Kelly Kelly felt like she was like hiding. Like she had like her, you know, her long, luscious blonde hair like over her face.
I remember when you walked up there, you saw like, look at that, look at the size of their security. And I was like, that's not security, that's Butterbean.
I didn't know because I didn't see him from the front. I just saw a big guy next to them. But yeah, like they had Butterbean, and then, which maybe that guy was dressed up as. I don't know for sure, that bigger guy.
What?
Butterbean.
No, Butterbean was there. He was a guest.
No, but what about that big guy? Did you see that big guy I was talking about earlier? Was he dressed up as
I don't
as
know.
Anybody?
There's a lot of like half naked like Street Fighter guys out there.
But anyway, yeah, he was, all I can say is that he was very big. And then, like I said, he was big to the point where I don't know if you could tell that he was wearing Speedo. Like, he almost looked like he was walking around naked. But, definitely drew attention. But, so then you have, like, Kelly Kelly, who, like, I didn't really actually get a good glimpse of, like, her full face because she had, like, her hair over her face, like, and then she was, like, turned, like, she didn't want to look at anybody, which I thought was kind of weird. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, she was, like, turned, like, halfway, and she didn't want to, like, face forward. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, that brings up the situation of like when you're at Comic-Con and you're in a location like that where people will just bottleneck, where you can't really stop, because like, you know, when you see girls, you want to look at them, but a lot of times it's hard to like just turn and be like, you know, you're walking, you know, you're doing the booth walk.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking and walking, and you see them, and then you see the autograph, how much it costs, and then you just get taken by the crowd. So you're not going to have like a line that way. So in that response, not a lot of people are going to be in front of them, you know.
But
so,
we did notice that there were people talking to the Beautiful People.
Yeah, because like, the Beautiful People are very
from
interactive, you know. I think they know how it is in the indie scene, the hustle.
And they were both like standing up, talking to people.
Yeah.
Whereas like all the other girls were like sitting down with their heads turned or looking at their cell phone.
Yeah.
They weren't like forward waiting for people to come to them. It was,
and
I don't
also
know.
They were dressed.
There was definitely some body language going on of who wanted to be there and who didn't want to be there.
I also think it's interesting because the Beautiful People like sort of like dressed up for the show. They had, looks like they were having fun with the show. Everyone else just looked, were just wearing skimpy outfits as if they were going to a nightclub. And I feel like it's almost easy to interact with someone that like looks more like a friend than just like some booth babe, you mm-hmm. know? So maybe that might be a lot of the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know for sure the full reasons, but
they probably got a lot of people to like on Saturday and Friday and stuff like that, because we only saw them on Sunday, even though that place was still packed. I mean, the show was massively packed, so there was no question this New York Comic Con was no question of downtime. Seriously, I felt like when the show was on, it didn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, until like probably the last 10 minutes or something.
I think
that's
a good thing, though. Like, just to be able to, like, have the show be hot the whole time and not, like, basically gone are the days where, like, Friday and Sunday are, like, the slower days. Like, to me, like, obviously Saturday's always going to be the busy day at any convention.
Yeah.
But it really did feel like the Friday and Sunday was like almost up to par.
Yeah.
So at that point it wasn't like, oh, this is such a slow day. You know how like usually like maybe like last year's New York Comic Con on Friday was like, oh, it's a little slow.
Yeah.
You know, but like whereas now there's no such thing as that. And I don't think there ever will be a New York Comic Con. Like I feel like this year like basically they went over a hurdle to say like we're up to the next level now. Like, to the point where, yeah, there's going to be lines, and this is, like, a full-on amusement park, to use your term.
Yeah, this is, like, a major New York event. This is, like, the Olympics of comics here. This is, like, the Super Bowl of comics, the WrestleMania of comics. I don't know what San Diego has. Never been there.
And also, the other amazing thing was, like, a lot of people from VCU were there that we ran into, and that was pretty amazing. And even, like, Lauren was there on Friday, and she ran into a couple people from VCU.
Yeah.
That, like, we weren't expecting.
I think
we're
it was,
like, whoa.
I think
like,
it
was
actually,
pretty amazing.
I think it was really cool to have Brian and Lauren at the table for a large amount of time. I don't know. I felt like, I don't know, it was interesting to see how people would look at our table, you know, like, taking the reins for a little bit.
Definitely.
I thought that was pretty interesting to see that. So, yeah, so we got the Annapolis Comic Con. We are doing this show that you're listening to now live. It's going to be completely unpredictable. We'll throw audibles out there. Just expect anything. Expect chaos. Expect to ask questions. Expect to just be interactive. Expect to have a good time. And, you know, we're going to do what we do, but maybe we might do it a little bit different.
And that's this Saturday, October 27th, 2012, at noon.
At noon.
Be there.
Noon, noon, noon. Noon, noon, noon. A nooner with the Carolyn and Joe show. That's how it's going to be.
That's hot.
That's how it's going to be. And then after that, enjoy the rest of the show out there. How do you think, man? We're getting pretty close to episode 200. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Getting pretty close.
Too.
This is gonna be pretty cool. So we're gonna pull out the surprises.
It's monumental.
We're gonna pull out the surprises, everybody. This Saturday is gonna be surprise day.
And everyone's gonna be hopped up on candy.
That's right.
I heard that there's gonna be tons of Halloween candy.
Yes.
There.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to us again. Curls-studio.com. Curls-studio/curls. Or curls-studio.com/curls to see curls.
I just got confused right there.
One of those things. Straightproductions.com. We produce this thing. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for listening. See you Saturday, everybody. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios.
Bye.
I'm the kind of human wreck. Is that your love?